The daf for today is Kuf Dalid. We'll start here on Kuf Gimel Amud Beis on the bottom of the Amud. And we had quoted Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra. He derived from the Pasuk Vinizkehem the word Mayim as a remez for the mitzvah of Nisuch HaMayim on Sukkos. The word Mayim is written in the Torah with a mem stuma, viniskehem, the mem at the end, a closed mem. And the word itself is mayim. Mem is a mem psucha, it's a mem for the middle of the letter, and yet it's written as a mem stuma. So we see from this that a mem psucha could be written as a mem stuma. And the Gemara says that if that be the case, then mida pasuach vaso sasum kosher, you needed the mem of mayim and instead you got the mem of niskehem, is we could flip it around as well. Sasum vaso pasuach kosher. That if you needed a mem stuma, like in the word shem, shin mem, and instead you wrote a mem psucha, which means you want to write the word shimon, so you wrote a mem psucha, that's appropriate for the middle of a word, kosher. So the Gemara thinks it's interchangeable. If you replace a mem psucha with a stuma, and that's fine, then the other way around is true as well. You can replace a mem stuma with a mem psucha. So the Gemara says, me dummy. That's not a fair equation. Pasuach vaso sasum, in the case of Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, where he needed a small mem, we'll call it, a psucha, and instead he wrote a stuma, right, it was written as viniskehem. So that, here on the top of Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph, is Iluye Kama Alyale. He's upgrading the letter. In other words, a mem stuma is more important than a mem psucha. But the other way around, that's going to be downgrading. Now, how do we know that a mem stuma is greater than a mem psucha? The Amar of Chizda, mem v'samach shebeluchos b'nes hayu omdim. There were two letters out of the 32 out of the 22 letters of the alphabet which are square, and there was a great miracle in the luchos that those letters could be read from both sides. Notice the fact that you can read any other letter from both sides, that's not a great miracle. But imagine a letter where you have to cut out the middle, let's say a mem stuma, for example, correct? It's like a square, so you have to cut out the middle of it. Or a samach, for that matter, right? It's a round letter. Now, how are you going to do this unless there's something that's suspended in midair? And that's a great miracle. So we see that the Luchos HaBris had a mem stuma, which was Omed Benes. And that upgrades the status of a mem stuma. So he wanted a mem for Mayim, instead he got Viniskeim, the last mem. That's fine, that's upgrading. El Asosu Vaso Pasua, but in the opposite direction, where he needs a mem stuma, like in the word shame, and instead he writes a mem psucha, well, he's going from some letter that was written in the Aseres HaDibros and stood with a miracle, and he's downgrading it. That's called grue kamagarile. Gorea means he puts it down. And therefore, even though Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra would agree that you can substitute a mem stuma for a psucha, but the opposite is not true. The Omer Rabbi Yirmiyahu v'Itamar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Mansapach Tzofim Amorum. there are five letters, let's just count them up, Mem, Nun, Sadi, Pe, and Chaf, that were instituted by the Nevi'im. In other words, originally these were all N letters, or the way we write an N letter, and then the Nevi'im came along and they changed it. And they added the middle kind of letters, you know what I mean? So the original Mem, which was in the Luchos HaBris, was a Mem Stuma, and the Nevi'im, the prophets, added a Mem Psucha, because that's one of the five letters, the first of the five in Mantzapach. So the Gemara says, is this really true? Could this be possible with Tisbro? That doesn't make sense. V'aksiv Ela Mitzvos, the Torah tells us that these are the mitzvos that are given by the Torah, and we derive from that a famous principle called She'ein Navi Rashoi L'chadish Dover Me'ata. A Navi is not allowed to change, he's not allowed to add to the Torah. So how could it be that the Nevi'im added letters to the Torah? Added, for example, Matzapach, a Mem Stuma, now they add a Mem Psucha? That's impossible. That violates the rule that limits the authority of the Nevi'im. The Nevi'im can't change halacha. And this has halachic implications, because you're going to change the Sefer Torah. So the Gemara says, Elami Havi Havi, both Mems, and for that matter the rest of Mantzapach, those letters were there. It wasn't that the Nevi'im created new letters, but Meida Lo Havi Yadinan, somehow over the course of time, it wasn't clear which of the two Mems, for example, and again you do that to the rest of Mantzapach, is Be'emtza Teva V'hai B'sof Teva, which one belongs in the middle of the letter, which one at the end of the letter. V'asu Tzofim Tikninu, and the prophets came along and they made an established enactment in which this particular Mem would be in the middle of the letter, that's a psucha, and this Mem at the end of the letter, that's a stuma. So the Gemara is not happy with this. Vakati, nevertheless, Eila mitzvahs ein novi rashoi l'chadish dover me'ata. If in fact, as far as halach is concerned, before the Nevi'im came along, this Mem could be here and this Mem could be there, and the Nevi'im through their takona enacted that this Mem has to be here and this one he has to be there, that's also beyond the scope and the pale of their authority. Ella says, Mar, no, you don't understand. It wasn't that they came along and made this new takona, but rather, El Shchachum V'Chazru V'Yizdum, there was an original halacha, and there was a Mem Psucha and a Mem Stuma, but over the course of time we forgot which one was which. So the Nevi'im are only reminding us, says the Gemara, of that which once was. They're not making a brand new takan. Gufa Amar Rav Chisda, we said that Mem V'Samach Shebeluchos B'Nes Hayu Omdim, we said that these two letters, a Mem and a Samach, were hanging in midair in the Luchos HaBris, and it was a great miracle, because again, keep in mind that the letters that were engraved on the tablets penetrated the entire thickness of the tablets, and the letters Samach and the final Mem, the Mem Stuma, are completely closed. And as we said before, the sections of the stone in the center were unattached to the luchos. There must have been a miracle which allowed them to hang suspended in midair. The Omer Rav Chisda, and further says Rav Chisda, Ksav Shebeluchos Nikra Mibifnim V'Nikra Mibachutz. You could read the Ksav, the script, on the luchos from one side, let's call it the outside, and the other side, we'll call it the inside. So the Torah tells us that the script of the luchos was written on both sides. So the letters, or the words on one side of the luchos, could be seen in a mirror image on the other side. What is Rav Chisda adding to us? He's telling us that the letters were carved all the way through the tablets from one side to the other. And that's why we needed a miracle in the cases of the Mem and the Samach, the Mem Stuma and the Samach. He gives a few examples. Kigon, if you take the word Nevuv and you read it backwards, then it becomes Buban. Right, the Beis at the end of the letter becomes the Beis at the beginning of the letter. He gives another example, Bahar or Rahav, Saru and Varas. Again, all these letters, if you see them on the other side, you'll see them in the reverse order. Again, not that these words are on the Luchos, that's not what he means to say. He's just giving you an example of words that appear in the Torah. And what would you do if you saw it from the other side, reading it backwards? Amalei Rabbanon L'Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi. Okay. Now, we're about to embark upon a very famous Agadata, which is called the Agadata of the Osios of the Letters of the Torah. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, in a very dramatic statement, hears something amazing from the rabbis of his generation. He hears that Asudar, the young children, were going to come along, Ha'idna, right now, Lebe Midrasha. They're going to enter into the base measure, the Amru, and they're going to teach us mealy things, the Afil Bime Yoshua ben Nun, Lo Itmar Kavasai. Even if you date back to the time of Yoshua ben Nun, nothing like this was ever shared with us. This is really a revelation. And what we're going to do is we're going to take every two letters of the alphabet, and that letter is going to be the beginning of a word, the next letter the beginning of a word, and we're going to take those two words and we're going to make a meaning out of it, a message out of it. So Aleph Beis, those are the first two letters of the alphabet, teaches us Aleph Bina, study wisdom. Wisdom here is an allusion to the Torah itself. Gimel Dalet, Gmol Dalim, which means extend your help to those who are poor. So the Gemara asks the following, my time of pshuta kare de gimel legabi dalet. If the gimel represents gemol, and the dalet represents the dalim, the poor people, why is it that the gimel, the letter of the gimel, is extended towards the dalet? Because the gimel on the bottom has like two legs. One is a hind leg and one is a foreleg. So the foreleg is extended towards the dalet. Shekein darko shel gomel chasodim loritz achar dalim. A person whose essence is compassion, he's not going to wait until someone in need comes along. He's going to take the initiative. He's going to run after the needy. And that's the case, of course, of Avraham Avinu, who's outside waiting for passers-by. U'maitaima pshuta kare de dalid legabe gimel. If you notice, the dalet is a little bit slanted towards the right. And why is the dalet, which represents the dal, the poor person, slanted towards the gimel? And the answer is, delimtze le nafshe. He shouldn't trouble the gomel, right, the person who's compassionate, to have to run after him. He should try as much as he can to lighten the burden of the gomel chasodim and present himself for him. My time of Mahadir Api the Dalid Mi Gimel. The Dalid completely faces towards the left. In a sense, its back is turned towards the Gimel. The Litain Le Bitsina. To convey the message that the Gomel, who's giving money to the Dal, to the poor person, should not look the Dal in the face. My wife and I are active in, I don't know if you've ever heard, an organization called Yad Eliezer. So the thing about Yad Eliezer is that once a month, they leave a package, a basket of all the staples, and they they ring the doorbell, and then they run away, so that they shouldn't embarrass the person who's going to receive it. So you shouldn't be embarrassed. You know, a human being doesn't want to be dependent on others. He wants to be independent. So it's embarrassing that he has to receive gifts. Now we get the hey and the vav. Zesh Moshal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because hey and vav are two letters out of the Yud Kei Vav Kei, the holiest name of God. And Zayin Ches Tes Yud Chaf Lamed. Okay, this is an allusion to something in the letters that form together these six letters. V'im ata osekein. This is a reward for someone who is aleph bina and gomel l'dalim. What's his reward? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God will. And now we go through the letters Zayin Ches Tes Yud Chaf Lamed. Zonoscha, he'll sustain you. Chenoscha, he'll give you compassion. And then we get to Tes, which is Meitiv, the Tes of Meitiv. Meitiv Lecha. V'nosein Lecha Yerusha. And the Yud is a reference to the word Yerusha, to inheritance. And then Kosher Lecha Keser, we're up to the Chaf, which is the Keser. God will tie a crown on your head. And what's the Lamed? Le'olam Haba, for the world to come. Okay, now we're up to Mem. We have Mem Psucha and Mem Stuma. And what does this mean? Maimer Pasuach, Maimer Sosum. Notice the Torah breaks down into two categories. There's that which is Pasuach, which is accessible and understandable, and that which is Sosum, is concealed. Nun Kfufa, Nun Pshuta. So we have the Nun in the middle of the letter and the Nun at the end of the letter. Is Neman Kafuf and Neman Pashut. In other words, you have the Kafuf, which is in the middle of the letter. He's bent over, and he's Neman. He's a reliable, faithful Baal Emuna. And then you have a Neman, a Baal Emuna, who's Pashut. He's humble, and he doesn't demand anything for himself. Then we get to Samach and Ayin. Smoch Aniyim, give assistance to the poor people. Again, we have to discuss why that's different than Gemol Dalim. Lishnach Rina, another version of what the children taught them, is Simonech Asei Batorah, make Simonim, that's the Samach, in the Torah. Asei meaning to create them. That's, these are ways of creating mnemonic devices for memory purposes. Ukneosa, and that's how you'll be able to acquire the Torah. Pei Kfufa, Pei Pshuta. There's the Pei in the middle of the letter, which is curved. The Pei at the end of a letter, which is open. Is Pei Pasuach and Pei Sosum. Sometimes a person has to speak, he has to teach, he has to transmit, and other times he should be closed-mouthed and he should be silent. Tzadi Kfufa V'Tzadi Pshuta. And there's the curved tzadi and the straight tzadi, which is a tzadik kafuf and a tzadik poshut. Sometimes the tzadik has to be bent over, and sometimes he has to stand straight, and he has to be a man of principle. Hainu neman kafuf, hainu neman poshut. So what's the difference between someone whose faith is humble as opposed to someone who's poshut, who's simple, and then you added the same thing in tzadik? Is Hosif Lecha HaKosuf Kfifal Kfifaso. No, it's even though the righteous person is Kafuf, but there's a Madrega, there's a level that goes even beyond that. He's Kafuf Al Gabi Kafuf. He's bent on bent. Mikan Shenitna HaTorah Bimenod Rosho. That the Torah was given to a trembling head. In other words, to be extraordinarily humble. Kuf Kadosh, Reish Rasha. Okay, so now we have the following question. My time of Mahadar Ape de Kuf Mi Reish. The Kuf is turned away from the resh, right? Because the resh is open towards the back of the kuf. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God declares, Ein ani yochel l'stakel b'rosha. I can't even look in the face of an evil person. My time of mahader tage the kuf l'gabi resh. But on the other hand, the tagim, which we'll discuss later, those are the crowns on top of the of certain letters, including the kuf, they are turned towards the resh, meaning they look backwards, they're angled in the reverse. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, im chozer, who even though I don't want to look at this rosha, but if he repents, then ani kosher lo keser kamosi, I will bind him a crown like my own crown. Umaitaima kare de kuf tluya. Why is that the leg of the kuf is suspended? It's not attached to the letter at all. De hoderbe li ayl. So that if he does do tshuva, he has a way of getting back in. Veleil bahach. Why can't he go around the letter and enter through the opening on the bottom of the kuf? Misayel el Reish Lakish. This is a support for Reish Lakish's statement. Om Reish Lakish may dechsiv. Pasuk in Mishlei. Imla leitzim hu yalitz vila avon anovim yiten chen. If to cynics he will act cynically, but to the humble he will grant favor. And God is giving a favor to someone who's humble. Boli tame poskinlo. If somebody comes to do averus, then God will give him an opening. He'll give him a pasuva. Boli tire. But if he comes to do tshuva, then misayino. So God will open up a new door for him, and will actively make it easier for him to do tshuva. Shin stands for sheker, and tav, which is the last letter of the word emes, stands for truth. My time of sheker makarvan mile. Why is it that you take the word sheker and emes and you put them together? Shin tav. Emes marachaka mile. Right? If you take a look at the letters of the word emes, they represent the first letter of the alphabet, the middle letter of the alphabet, and the last letter of the alphabet. And the answer is shikra shchiach. If you take a look at the letters of the word sheker, right? Those are letters that are very close to each other in the alphabet, because that indicates how common it is, unfortunately, for people to falsify the truth. And kushta implying that truth is lo shchiach. Emes is not to be found. It's at the beginning, the middle, at the end. You know, it's spread apart. My time is shikra chada kare koi. Why is it that sheker, the word sheker, stands up on just one leg, meaning the leg of the kuf that comes down? Emes, on the other hand, melaben libune, it's flat, straight across. There are no legs coming down. Kushta koi, things that don't have a leg and are all solid, all three letters of emes are solidly based, which means that they are there to stand for good. But shikra lo koi, but sheker is like standing on one single leg. So people falsify the truth, but ultimately the truth is going to come out. Now, Rabosai, we have the Aleph Beis as we know it, and we've just finished the Agadah to the Darshans, these Aleph Beis in its sequence, but there are three other ways of expounding the letters of the Torah. The first of the three that we're going to learn now is called At Bash. And in At Bash, what you do is you divide the 22 letters of the Torah into two sections of 11, going from top to bottom. And what you do is, now that you have these two columns, you take the top letter on this side, on the right side, and you attach it to the bottom letter on the left side. So the Aleph gets attached to the Tav, and the Beis gets attached to the Shin. That's called At Bash. So At Bash, and now we're going to darshan the Aleph and the Tav, the Beis and the Shin, etc. Oh, and this, now we're going to divide up into two. One is going to darshan these letters for Rishayim, the punishment for the evildoers, and the other possibility is to interpret them as reward for the righteous. So first we're going to start with the punishment for the evildoers. Osi Tiev right? The Aleph Tav means Osi, and me, meaning God, is referring Tiev. He abominated, and Es Avalo question mark a rhetorical question. I desire him, and Bash stands for the following: B Lochashak. That's the base. Notice he doesn't have any desire for me, says God. Shmi Yochololov. Shall I rest my name upon him? Question mark. And then we get to Gimel Reish, and that refers to Gufo Time, Arachem Olav. He defiled his body. Should I have mercy upon him? Dalid Kuf is Dalsosai Nal. He has locked the doors from in front of me. And Karnov Law Gadea, will I not break, you know, completely destroy his horns, his pride? Ad kan midas rishoyim. That's for the evildoers. Avol midas tzadikim. Let's go back to the top. At bash. And the at, the aleph tof, is imato. And the bash, is the beit shin, is bosh. That you have an embarrassment towards sin, is gimel reish dalid kuf. Imato. Osakein, if you're embarrassed because of sin, then gur bidok, live with me in the heavens. In other words, you're uplifted to the heavens. Hatz vaf, which is hey tzadik vav pei, chatzita havi ben cha la'af. Af is anger, the nose, is divine anger, and chatzita, there'll be a barrier between you, the saints, the righteous, and my divine wrath. And Zayin Ayin Ches Samach Tes Nun is V'Einata Mizdazea Minas Satan. You don't have to be afraid in the ultimate judgment of the Satan. Don't be shooken up by him. Yud Mem Chaf Lamid Omar Sar Shal Genem Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ribono Shel Olam Liyam Kol. All the sinners should be sent into Gehenna. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu replies, now we're up to a different letter combination, and once again we're going to divide up the letters into two columns, but in this case we're going to go straight across on the top from one column to the other. So on the top of the column on the right is going to be, oh, now we're dividing up into three sections, right? And then the last letter is going to be attached to the last one. So it's basically three seven-letter sections, the 21, and we're going to add the last letter, the tough, to the last section. So what you're going to have, and you have seven letters on one column, that's going to end up with Zion, and then you're going to start the second column, the top is going to be a Ches, and that's called a Chas Bita Gif. Ani chas alem ipnei shebatu begif. I will have pity upon the Jewish people because they rejected adultery. Adultery is called gif, and that's based on the Aramaic translation of adultery. Debats is dakim hem kedim hem tzadikim hem. They are upright, they are innocent, they are righteous. Halak is ein lecha chelik bohem. And now we're going to those who are the Rishoyim, you have no chelik in them. So that means, not to the Rishoyim, but to Gehenim. Now the Sar Shel Gehenim, if you remember before, is going to, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, forget it, you have no control over these tzaddikim. And then the rest of the letters, Omar Gehenim Lefanov Ribono Shel Olam Mori Zuneni Mizaro Shel Sheis. My master, feed me from the seed of Shais. These are the descendants of Shais, who are the idolaters, and that's going to be food for the Sorrow Shel Gehenna. Now we have a third system of interpreting the letters, and this system, the 22 letters, are divided into two 11 letter groups, and then we combine the parallel letters up on top. And we have Omer Lo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu replies, Aleph Lamed Beis Mem Gimel, etc. Leheichan Olichem LeGan Hadas. Where am I going to take the Jews? Not to Gehenna, but rather to a place called Gan Hadas, which is the Garden of Eden, to Gan Eden. And hey, I involve pay. Omer Gehenem l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu ribono shel olam oyef anochi, meaning I'm hungry for my victims. Halolu zaro shel Yitzchak. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you don't have a hand in the descendants of Yitzchak. Long discussion here about why Yitzchak is singled out. And then Tar Yash Kav is Tar Yesh Likitos Kitos Shal Ovdei Kochavim. He sort of comforts the sorrow Shal Gehenna, and he says, don't worry, I have long groups of idolaters, Shani Nosi Licha, and I will give them to you. Okay, now we're ready to get back to Masechet Shabbos. We're on Kuf Dalet Amud Beis, and we're talking about Meleches Ksiva. And of course, the Gemara that we just learned, which is a very famous Haggadah that needs to be studied in great depth. It's not really for a Daf Yomi Shia. There's many, many nuances of meanings and depth of meanings here. So now we'll start the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, HaKosev Shtei Osios Behelim Echad Chayot. So the minimum shear from Meleches Ksiva is two letters. And he forgot it was Shabbos, and he wrote two letters. Okay then. He's chayav. Now, we're going to talk about ink. Kosav. And now we have a long list of different types of ink. Dio is black ink. Sam is paint. Then we have Sikra, which is red paint. Komos is something called gum, G-U-M, which is used even today in the making, the process of manufacturing ink. And Kankantum is called copper sulfate. Any of the above would constitute a Meleches Ksiva, B'chol Dover Shu Roshem, and anything that makes an indelible mark that will not automatically disappear. What if he writes two letters in two different places? So it depends. If it's Al Shnei Kosle Zavios, let's say you have two walls that form an L, a 90-degree angle, and you put the two letters at the two corners so that you could see them and read them together, you'll be chayav, as opposed to another case we'll have later where he separates them. Al Shnei Levachei Pinkos, so they used to have certain ledgers, and they had two sides to the ledger, would open up, like our books today, and he wrote right near each other on each side of the ledger, so you could read the two letters together. Hey, negim ze'im zed, it could be read together as one word, chayav. Now what about someone who writes letters on his own flesh? So the human flesh is considered a viable writing. It lasts a long, long time. It could be that with time, you know, a person sweats and so forth, and the perspiration will mar the letters. But the letters themselves, if you leave them there, they could last forever. On the other hand, if you're not writing letters with ink, but rather you're scratching your body, and we'll soon see that there was such a nutcase who did that. He actually made scratches on his body, and we'll see why he thought he was doing the right thing. So that's a different kind. That's not ksiva at all. You know, to scratch onto your body and destroy your flesh by making, you know, wounds in your body. That's not the derek ksiva. That's not a normal ksiva. So Akosev al Basaro, if he writes two letters on his basar, chayav. Everybody would agree that he's chayav because, as we said before, basar is a kind of a permanent writing in and of itself. Hamisoret al Basaro, here we have a machlokas. If he scratches into his flesh, is although Rabbi Eliezer mechayev chatos, but chachomim poch. Chachomim say that you're not just adding ink to your skin, but you're cutting into the body. And I'm wondering what the chachomim would say about tattoos, because in tattoos, if I'm not mistaken, you do actually cut into your body, but more likely tattoos might fit under kosev. I don't know. But in any event, the Chachamim Pati, they say that scratching into your body below the surface of the skin is not a normal ksiva. Kosav b'mashkin or b'mei peros. So mashkin are liquids, but which include also one of the special kinds of liquids that you can get from a fruit that's called a mulberry, and then all fruit juices. And in these cases, it's not going to last very long. It'll dissipate with time. Or avak drachim, he uses dust, and he makes indentations in the dust of the roads. Bavak ha-sofrim, this is the dust of the scribes. And what happened was, they had an inkwell, and the residue of the hard point, the sediment, so to speak, would settle to the bottom. That's called the dust of the sofrim. Ubechol davar sheinu miskayim, or anything that doesn't last very long. Potter, he needs a melacha miskayemis. It's got to be permanent. Now, here we have to add another point. Until now, we've been discussing the kind of ink that he's using to write with. Is it permanent, or is it something that with time dissipates? There's another issue. We'll get to it a little later, Mitzvah Hashem. What is he writing upon? Is he writing upon something, like a parchment, which will last forever? Or if he writes upon something that disintegrates with time, like, for example, the peel of an onion. So that's already another problem, and it's not ksiva, because it's not kayoma, not because of the lack of ink. He wrote it with permanent ink, but he wrote it on an object, on material that will dissipate with time. Li'achar yodo, if he uses the back of his hand, that's an unusual kind of writing, and therefore it's going to be literally kelachar yad, and he's potur. Or beraglo bepiv ubemarpeko, he writes with, you know, he puts a quill between his toes, or he holds the quill in his mouth, or he puts it in his elbow, you know, between the elbow and the arm. These are all unusual kinds of writings. Now, there's going to be a major issue if a person doesn't have an ability to write in any other way. This is the only way he could write. Does it become for him a normal way of writing? Can we compare it, for example, to a lefty who writes with his left hand? Kosav os achas somach leksav. So there already was a text written before Shabbos. He came along and he added one letter. And now you could add that letter and it reads very beautifully, flows with the script that's written. He's not going to be chayef now because he only wrote one letter. Kosav al gabi ksav. There already was an existing script. He wrote on top of it. He sort of traced the script on top of the script. That's not considered ksiva. We'll see a gigantic machlokas about this. Niskavi lichtov ches. Now a ches is two zayins that are attached. The kosav shtei zayin, instead of attaching them on top, he left them as two zayin. And he didn't have any intention of writing two zayin. Or achas pi oretz vi achas pi korah, he wrote one down here and one on top of the roof, on the beam on the roof. They can't be read together. Kosav al shnei kosle abayis, he wrote not at the zavis, at the corner of the two walls, but in the middle of each wall, he wrote a letter. So he wrote two letters, but you can't read them together. Or al shnei dapi pinkas, or he had two sides of a ledger, but he wrote the letters in the middle of these two sides. The ein negim zem zeh, you can't read them together. You'd have to actually cut down, you know, the paper between the two and put them together. Is in all these cases he's pot. So in this last section of the Mishnah, we have basically number one, a ptur because he did it a very unusual kind of way. Number two, well, because this is not the two letters that he intended to write. Or number three, the letters can't be read together. Kosav os achas no trikon. What if he wrote one letter, but everybody knows that that's an abbreviation of a longer word? And that's clear. So that's a machlokas tanoim. Rabbi Yeshua ben Beseira machayev v'chachomim pochim. Chachom say at the end of the day he didn't write two letters. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says no, we can read it as a full word. The Gemara says that what is dio that's listed in the Mishnah? That's called diota. Black ink in Aramaic is called diota. Sam, which in Lashon Kodesh is a kind of a paint, is sama in Aramaic. Now, in fancy English, this is called yellow arsenic. So we really need a crash course you could actually Google this, which I did many years ago, how to make ink. You know, they'll teach you how to make ink, and they'll give you different types of ink. Sikra, we said, is a red color. Omar Rabba Bar Chana Sakrasa Shma. Here in our parts, in Babylonia, we call it a Sakrasa. And Komos, we call Koma, which we say gum. There's a certain similarity. So it's an Arabic gum. And Kankantum, which we said was copper sulfate. Omar Rabba Bar Chana Shmuel Charta de Ushpeche. Okay, this is used by the shoemakers. And it's a certain kind of black ink that they use to polish up the sandals. Bechol davashu roshem. The Mishnah gives us a klal. Whenever the Mishnah gives us a general rule, there must be adding something. Lasuye mai, what is it coming to add? A davar, a roshem, something that's permanent. Lasuye ha de toni rabbi chanina. Ksavo b'mei tarya v'afza kosher. There are certain types of liquids that although they're not really ink, but they do create a certain permanence to them. And the quote here from Rabbi Chanina is in a different context. He's not addressing Shabbos. The Gemara is making an analogy. He's addressing a get. Writing a get has to be written again in a permanent way. And in this case, they use something called gallnut juice, okay, or some sort of tarya, I don't know exactly what it is, a certain kind of fruit. Anyway, whatever it is, it is. But it somehow makes a permanent ksav, and it's kosher for a get, and therefore it's permanent for Shabbos and his chayev. Tony Rabbi Chia, ksavo bi aver. He wrote with lead, which is basically a metal that was, let's say it was melted down, and he was able to write with it. And that's going to be permanent. B'shachar u'b'shichur. Shachar is charcoal, and shichur, we said before, is the kind of black that the shoemakers use to polish the shoes. Kosher. It's valid for a get, and therefore you'd be chayev on Shabbos. Hamesorid al besor. We saw that if he makes a scratch in his flesh, according to Rabbi Eliezer, is chayev. According to Chachamim, is potur. Tanya, we learned at Braisa. Omer lehem, Rabbi Eliezer lechachamim. Don't you admit that it's normal for a human being to scratch letters into his body? Halo ben Stata. Stata was a person that lived back at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, I guess. Hotzik shafim Mitzrayim. You know, the Mitzrayim were experts at sorcery, and they wouldn't allow anyone to take it in export. So they would check you at the border to make sure that you weren't carrying with you, you know, instructions on how to do the sorcery. So he thought he would outsmart the Mitzrayim. And Besrit al Besara, he actually inflicted into his basar the various instructions on the sorcery. So you see that there is such a thing. Omrullah, the Chacham said, Shota Haya. V'ein Mevim Raya Min Ashoti. He's a shaita. This guy is stupid. You know, the person who inflicts such a thing into his body, that's crazy. That's not we don't learn things from crazy people. Kosav os achas somach liksav. He added one letter right near a written script. He's potter. So the Gemara says that's not so simple. That's really in truth a machlokas tanoim. Mantana, who's the author of our Mishnah, Omar Rabba Bar Rahuna, Deloker Rabbi Eliezer. It's the Tanakama who argues against Rabbi Eliezer, because Rabbi Eliezer would say that even if you have already a malacha that was done and you want to embellish it and enhance it, you don't have to add kashir, you don't have to do a full shir. So for example, Rabbi Eliezer says, Ha'omar, he says that achas ala orig chayev, he already has a woven garment, and he wants to perfect it by adding one thread. Normally you're only chayev ariga with two threads. In this case, Rabbi Eliezer insists that you're chayev, you perfected the fabric. And the same logic will apply if you have a script and you need one more letter, and you added that letter, you're chayev. Al Chacham say no. There's a rule that you have to do on Shabbos the full melacha with its shear. So you need two chutim tfiros for the meleches tofer, and you need two letters for meleches kos. Ksav al gabi ksav. Once again, is it true that when you add a script on top of a pre-existing script, you're potur? That's not considered ksiva. Well, that's true according to the Tan of our Mishnah. But Mantana, Omer Avchizda Delok Rabbi Yehuda. This does not reflect the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. And now we learn a little bit more about Sefer Torah. This Sanya we learned in a Brisa Reisha Yitzorich Lichtovas Hashem. The law is that when the scribe writes the name of Hashem, he has to have special kavana, L'shem Kedushas Hashem. And he decided, for whatever reason, that he's going to write the name Yehuda. Now Yehuda has God's name in it, minus or plus the Dalit. And it's Kavin Lichtov Yehuda V'tov Elohita Bo Dalit. He actually got it right. He made a mistake and he got it right. And he wrote Yud Kei Vav Kei. So the letters of God's name are there, but the Kavana is missing. He didn't have L'shem Kedushas Hashem. He thought he was writing the word Yehuda. Says Rabbi Yehuda, Mavir Olav Kulmis Umekadcho. All he has to do is write a second ksav on top of the first, and this time, again, he's just rewriting the same letters that are already written on the parchment, Yud Kei Vav Kei, but here he has kavana lishma, and now he fixed it up. So you see that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the ksav al gabi ksav is the ksav elyon, I mean, it's the upper ksav, is called the ksav, and it's valid for a sefer Torah lishma, and therefore he'd be chayv on Shabbos for ksav al gabi ksav against our mission. However, Chachamim Omrim, they reject Rabbi Yehuda, and they say, Ein Hashem min HaMuvchar. Now, it's a little tricky here. Ein Hashem min HaMuvchar sounds like what the Chachamim are telling Rabbi Yehuda is that you didn't do a perfect Shem. It wasn't done the right way. But that's not really pshat. Really, the Chachamim hold that the Sefer Torah is completely possible, because if you don't have Lishma in the name of Hashem, that disqualifies the Sefer. The Chachamim were only saying to Rabbi Yehuda, why do you advocate that he should write a second ksav on the top one? Don't you admit at least that it's not min hamuvchar? You have to admit that that's not going to really embellish and beautify the Sefer Torah. But in any event, we see clearly that we have now a machlokes tanoim between Rabbi Yehuda, who holds ksav agabi ksav havi ksav, and therefore you be chayv on Shabbos for ksav agabi ksav, as opposed to the Shitas Chachamim reflected in our Mishnah that ksav agabi ksav lo shmei ksav, and therefore you cannot be makshir a sefer Torah by writing a ksav on top of a ksav. Tana, we learned it a brisa, kosav os achas v'shlimo l'sefer. Now we discussed the case where he adds a letter to an already pre-existing script, and we said that was machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Chachamim. Now we're going to learn of a brisa, a case where he wrote only one letter, and even the Chachamim will agree in this case that he's chayev. Why? Because his shlimo l'sefer. He wasn't just embellishing the sefer, but the sefer and its validity is dependent upon that one letter that's missing. And now he's creating a sefer Torah. That writing of one letter is so profound that we didn't have a sefer before, and now we have a sefer. So that's called kosav os achas v'shlimo l'sefer, or alternatively, orag chut echad v'shlimo l'beged. So the garment would fall apart if not for one thread. There's one thread that he needs to tie the ends and make sure that the beged is viable. In such a case, even the chachamim hold yochayev. So the Gemara initially thinks, what do you mean? He wrote one letter and he's chayev? We had a case before where he added a letter to a script and the Chachamim say, you're potter. Mantana. this brisa that says that if you add a letter and now you, that one missing letter completes the Sefer Yechayev, that has to be Omer Rabbi Bar Huna, Rabbi Eliezer he. We have to identify this with Rabbi Eliezer, who says the Omer Achas ala Orik Chayev, that if you add one thread to a pre-existing fabric, you're Chayev. No, says the Gemara of Ashi Omar Afilu Tamer Rabbanon. This last case, even the Rabbanon would agree a Chayev. Lahashlim Shiny. Because now you are making a profound difference. Before this Beged couldn't exist, or before this Sefer was incomplete, you know, you put it in Geniza, it's missing a letter. And now you add a letter, you've created a Sefer. That's called a chashuva malacha of ksiva. It's interesting, we see from this Gemara that really even writing one letter is called ksiva. It's not like, well, until you write two letters that can form a word, etc., etc., that's not called ksiva. Even one letter is called ksiva, but it doesn't have chashivas to it. If lu yitzur, if we could imagine a case where one letter has chashivas, you'd be chayav. And that's a shlima with sefer. Omar of Ami, Kosavos Achas Bitveri of Yachas Bitsipori. So if I would cover the Gemara and I would ask you this question, he wrote one letter in one city and another letter in another city, what would you tell me? Is he Chayev? I would say he's not Chayev. I mean, we had so many cases where the letter was here and the letter was there and you can't read it together. You know, you'd have to take a fast helicopter to get from Tzipori to Tveria to be able to read these two letters together. And to our surprise, Rav Ami says just the opposite. Chayev. Ksivahi. This is considered ksivahi. He wrote two letters. El shemechusa kreva. The only problem is, you have to bring these two letters together. So the Gemara immediately attacks. V'atnan, we have in our Mishnah, kosav al shnei kosle abayis, if he writes two letters on two walls, and they're not at the corner, or al shnei dapi pinkos, right, on two ledges in the middle of each side, Potter. And how much more so in the case where he wrote one letter in Tveria and the other in Tzipori, two different cities. Nain, says the Gemara, that's not true. Your analogy is not precise. Hossam, there in the case of the Mishnah where he wrote the two letters on two walls or on two different ledgers or sides of ledgers, is that that's called Mechusar Maisa de Kreva. Which means that he needs a maisa. What's a maisa? Imagine if you want to bring these two letters together, you're going to have to chop down the wall. You have to chisel out the stones of the wall. Or in the case of middle, you know, the middle of two pages of a book, you're going to have to, you know, slice up the book with the scissors in order to get these two letters together. But hacha, in the case of Tveria and Tzipori, lo mechusa maisa kreva. Again, he needs kreva, but the potential of bringing these two letters together is, no, it's, let's say in Tveria he wrote a letter on the right side of the edge of the paper. And in Tzipori he wrote it on the left side on the edge of the paper. Now he just has to bring these two pages together and he could read those two letters as one. He doesn't have to do any physical change in the script or in the object upon which the script was written. And that's called Mechus. Everything requires kavana, but what we're saying, Jerry, is that
where's the kavana?
I'm not sure if I understood you. Let me answer to you based on what I think you were asking, and you'll tell me if this is what you meant. He has kavana to write two letters. He deliberately writes one in one city and one in the other, and the potential of bringing them together so they could read as one is going to be Mechayev him. Again, he doesn't have to actually, we don't wait for him to bring the letter from Tzipori to Tveria, vice versa. He's Chayev. Why? Because he can bring these two letters together and read them as one, potentially, without having to do a Maisa, without having to do a change in the actual physical object. Mashenkein, if he writes two letters on two different walls, he's going to literally, to get them together, he's going to have to take down the wall. So the Gemara says the following. Tana, we learned in a brisa, Higia os achas chayev. In other words, there was one letter that was written in precisely and correctly, and he fixes it. And he's chayev. So the Gemara says, how could that be? Hashta kosavos achas. potter if he wrote a full letter from scratch. He's potter. One letter is not enough. Is he gia osachas chayev? Could it be chayev when there is a letter and he just fixes it up? We have to reinterpret this price. Om Rav Sheshes, hocha mayaskin, and what's the case that we're dealing with? Kigon shenitolo legago shelches, vaso shnei zin. What he needed was two zions, and he finds a ches. The difference is that the ches has a roof that connects the two zions. What did he do? He removed the roof of the ches, and he's left with two zions. So in effect, according to Rav Sheshes, that's considered like writing two letters. He wrote two zions. Rava Omar, Rava disagrees, and he says, Kigon shena talola tago shel dalid v'yaso resh. Right, the difference between a dalid and a resh is that little extra piece on the top right. So he removed that dalid, and he ended up with a resh. Now here we have a whole literature. I mean, okay, fine. So he fixed up a dalid, and now he made it into a resh. But he's only written one letter. How could Rava say that he's chayav for such a thing? And we're going to have to say that this Rava is going back to the case that we had earlier about os achas v'shlimo l'sefer, meaning this Sefer Torah, because it has a dalid instead of a resh, is posel. And what he does is by cutting off that piece of the top right of the dalid and making it to resh, he was machshir the Sefer. That's called a shlimo the Sefer. It's no other way of making sense out of Rav. But on the other hand, Rav Sheshes has a much more radical position, and he's saying that if he removes the gag of the ches and he ends up with two zions, he's going to be chayav. Let's just read another line and then we'll take a break. Tana, we have another braisa that says, Niskamein lichtov os achas. He had in mind only to write one letter. And now we're going to turn to Daf Kuf Hei Amin Aleph. V'olu biyado shtayim. And instead, you know, he wanted to write a ches, but instead he wrote two zions. Chayav. Wait a minute. He only had in mind to write one letter. Why is he chayav? So Vatnan Potter, our Mishnah says that your Potter in such a case, Lokasha, Hod Boy Ziyune, Hod Lo Boy Ziyune. Right, there's something called Ziyune. Ziyune are the crowns that we indicated before that you put on top of a letter. And what we're referring to in our Mishnah is he wrote a letter, and I mean, he actually wrote two letters, but he left out the crowns on top of the letter, the tag and the zainin. But the Bryce is talking about a case of letters that don't require crowns. And therefore, he is chayav. Okay then, so we're going to stop here. And